Good morning, everyone. Get your Bibles out and turn over to Psalms 15. Brother Ernie asked me to speak. He sent me a little note. And it said in the note, call me and say yes, write me and say yes, or email me and say yes. And in red, it had no is unacceptable. So I called him. I'm glad to be here. Greetings from the Colleston Unamended Christadelphian Ecclesia, Colleston, Louisiana, that is. A little small town. And we're glad to be here. You'll be hearing from several of us all week. And I really look forward to coming here. And I hope that I can make somebody laugh this week. But seriously, in Psalms 15. Start off wrong. Psalms 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That's the question. The answer, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doth these things shall never be moved. Now that's quite a good undertaking for us, to not be moved, to change not, to always speak the truth. So, in the next chapter, verse 8, it is stated, I shall not be moved. Now Jude wrote to the beloved of the common salvation, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Jude knew that false teachers would infiltrate the ecclesia, that would bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, and many would follow their own pernicious ways. Turn over to 2 Peter, a couple of verses here, 1 and 2 of 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among us, you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Jude knew what was going on. He understood. He knew that men wanted to worship God according to their own will, according to their own conscience. And that's the way it is today. People want to do what they want to do, and they're going to. They're going to worship the Lord, even if it's wrong, in a way that makes things easy for them to accept. 2 Peter 2:10. Them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness are presumptuous and self-willed. Now, this is a very different thing that is will worship from believing and obeying the gospel that was once delivered unto the saints. The kingdom of God and the things concerning Jesus Christ, walking uprightly and speaking the truth and changing not. No one has a right to worship as he pleases. This is styled will worship or voluntary humility. In Colossians 2, turn there if you would. If I can find it. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Excuse me. So, let no man beguile you of your reward. Don't let a false teacher impose upon your belief, impose upon the set doctrine. One could say, what feels right in your own mind? That's wrong. You worship so that it makes you feel good. That's not right. It's not our decision in the way we worship. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Truth. Now Jude goes on to give examples of Yahweh's judgment in the past. The judgment of unbelieving Israel in the wilderness, and that also of Sodom and Gomorrah, and also the hatred, the greed, and the rebellion of Cain, Balaam, and Korah, describing them as spots, feeding themselves without fear. That's what people are doing now. They have no fear of God because they worship Him like they want to. They're trees without fruit, raging waves of sea, foaming out their own shame. David said in Psalm 61, there's Psalm 61, I knew I had it somewhere, Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. So I will sing praise. praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I have three passages here that has to do with vow. In Deuteronomy 23:1, we are told, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. In Ecclesiastes 5:4-5, it states this, when thou vowest unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it not to vow than to vow and not pay. So, by these three passages, you see how important a vow is. Have any of you made a vow to the Lord? Are any of you contemplating to make a vow to the Lord? Well, it's a hard saying, but if you don't intend to keep your vow, then don't make it. Make it if you intend to keep it. If you look for eternal life, then make the vow and continue therein. Contend to keep it. We make a vow when we are baptized. We must not cast away or draw back our faith. We can't give it up. We got to hold on. When we are baptized under the conditions of the unamended Christadelphian faith, we are saying exactly what the children of Israel said at Mount Sinai. We're saying, we will do all that the Lord has said. That's what you're saying. It's not always easy. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, and been baptized, I added that, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. For willful sin, will worship, willful sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. We need to stay the course that has been set before us when we are baptized. We need to contend for the one faith that is set before us. fight the good fight of our unamended Christadelphian faith, in which we were illuminated with and baptized under. There is great recompense of reward. Reading on at verse 32, same chapter, Hebrews 11. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Now, I ain't saying we go to heaven. You know, that's not what that's saying. When you all know that. It's speaking of Christ and Yahweh. Cast not away, you hear me? Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But us, are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we're not of those that draw back. We must contend for what we believe. From these passages, we are exhorted by commands, by a warning, by an encouraging reminder, by a promise, by an expression of confidence, and to have boldness by the blood of Jesus. That's a lot contained in those few passages. That we should draw near to God with assurance. We are to hold fast to our confession without wavering, and to be concerned for one another. We are to provoke one another to love and to good works. That's our job. All those things are our job. When one falls away, we're supposed to go to them in love and provoke them to do better. Not always an easy thing, because people want to will worship. They want to do what they want to do. If we turn our backs to the truth and cast away our hope, then we have no hope. Only an expectation of terror. Turn over to Titus, please. I got just a few little verses here to read in Titus. And then I'll sit down. Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's my point. The word of God be not blasphemed. Verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptibleness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Well, if people are going to say evil things about you, it don't matter. They're going to say it. Because everybody's not going to agree with you. We are to exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please them in all things, not answering again. You know, that's got to do a lot right there in our lives. Because we have many masters, you know, people that want to be over us, you know, at work and other things. Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. People forget that God is our true Savior, that He sent His Son to also give us a chance to be a Savior for us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that's what that meant there. God, by His grace, He brought Christ salvation, and it hath appeared to all men. But one thing there, all men have not availed themselves of this opportunity to receive the grace and salvation of God, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. How wonderful a blessing is our hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. And of course, He gave Himself for Himself too. That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Thank you very much.